and Psalm 122. We'll stand in just a moment after you find it and give honor to God's Word and then read the first four verses of this good chapter. Psalm 122, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. All right, let's stand together, please, and we'll read these responsively. If you would join me on verses 2 and 4, I'll read verses 1 and 3 for us. The Bible says this, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord." Dear Father, thank you for the privilege to have your word. Open our hearts to it. I guess we, Lord, have a lot to do with that. Your spirit that lives within us will enlighten us. But, Lord, we can't come with an old, cold, apathetic, closed heart and mind. Our spirit must be in tune with yours. I pray that would happen right now. We give ourselves to you. And, Lord, these few remaining moments before the preaching begins, we get our hearts ready to receive the good word of God. Bless Rick as he sings. Thank you for him. Bless his life. Bless his school year coming up this fall. And just bless our moments in your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, BC.
When my way seems dark and drear and the future I don't know, my heart feels so empty as the tears unending flow. When my heart breaks with sorrow and a tempest fills my soul, this one thing I know for sure, my God is in control. His way is perfect, His way is perfect. Though I don't understand His wise and loving plan, His way is perfect, His way is perfect. Take my life and make a vessel purified. God makes no mistakes, His way is best. When the toils of life are come and my heart is worn with care, I faint 'neath the burden of a cross I cannot bear. When the joy has departed from my sorrow-stricken soul, this one thing I know for sure, my God is in control. His way is perfect, His way is perfect. Though I don't understand His wise and loving plan, His way is perfect, His way is perfect. Take my life and make a vessel purified. God makes no mistakes, His way is best. God makes no mistakes, His way is best.
Amen. Beautiful song, well sung this morning. Rick's going back for his junior year at school in just a few weeks. I'm glad he could be here with us for just a few days. I want to speak to you on this subject this morning out of verse number 1 of this chapter. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I've mentioned this verse in many messages, but never preached on it, never preached from this text. So let me ask you a question this morning for the title. Are you glad? Are you glad? David said, I was glad. So let me ask you this morning, are you glad? Thank you, dear Father, for your way, the good song we just heard that reminds us your way is perfect. God, in those difficult hours, may we grab hold to that promise, that truth, that anchor, and not be soon shaken in our belief or practice. Lord, there might be someone here this morning going through a difficult season, and you designed that song for them. You wanted them to hear it today. I pray that they'll grab hold of the anchor, that you're always right. And you're always perfect, and your way is perfect. And God, I pray that they'll hang on to you through this season of difficulty. Give us liberty this morning, liberty of mind and word, and may our hearts be receiving the good word of God. May it bring forth fruit in our lives today. In Jesus' name and amen. If you have listened carefully over the years, you know what is meant by the heading of this psalm. If you have a Bible that gives you the different headings at the beginning of each psalm, my Scofield Bible says about this psalm, a song of degrees of David. That word degrees means ascents. It's in the notes there if you have that kind of Bible. A song of degrees of David. Obviously, David is the human pen. He's the author. He's the one whom the Holy Spirit settled on as he held the writing instrument. And the Holy Spirit moved his hand along, according to the New Testament, and gave us these words. That happened many times. David gave us words, inspired words of God. So he was the human pen. Songs of degrees were songs that were used as the Hebrew families would make their way to the tabernacle, later on the temple, for sacrifice and worship. It was their public gathering, if you will. And they would make their way. Sometimes they would start out from some distance away. The furthest ones out started earlier, and they came along, and folks would join with them, and then they'd go further, and folks would join with them. And along the way, they would sing these psalms or songs of degree. They would go a ways, and they would stop and sing, or sing as they walked. And then they would go a ways further and stop and sing another one of these songs. Or they could go a ways further. And evidently, they sang this song either right outside the city of Jerusalem or once they entered the city of Jerusalem. Because look at verse number 2. He said, "Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." So they're coming from outside the city, out where the families lived, and coming to the city of Jerusalem. It was a happy time for these people. They looked forward to going to Jerusalem. The tabernacle, the temple were there. The city of God, Zion. And by the way, it's still a very special city for all Jewish people. And it does rightfully belong to them. It is their property. It does not belong to any other group of people. It is the Jews. It is their place. And it would be like us going to Washington, D.C. All the history and all of our nation, you know. I remember when we first made our first senior trip to Washington, D.C., and the kids were a little bit, well, I don't know if this is going to be any fun or not. And there's no roller coasters there, you know, and there's no amusement rides and all that. And when we popped out of that subway and stood on that long mall there and looked at the Capitol building on one end, the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial on the other end, all that negativity changed, friend. It was gone. I mean, you're right there in D.C. And that's kind of how it would be for these Jews, even more so. Maybe Washington, D.C. doesn't hold anything spiritual for us, but it did for these Jewish people. Man, they were excited about going to Jerusalem. And so they sang, and they sang these songs. I don't know at what point in the process they would sing this song, but the opening verse of this song would have been a part of the music that they sang. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Now, we Gentiles, we don't have a city on earth that means to us what Jerusalem means to the Jews. We don't have that type of thing. We have a heavenly city that means a lot to us. Amen. Our citizenship is there. We don't have a tabernacle or a temple. We don't bring a lamb or a bullock or a sheep with us to church. There's no blood flowing this morning. There's no burning of the sacrificed animals' bodies and the stench of burning flesh that goes along with it. We have none of that. I realize fully, and you do too. This is New Testament day. We are in a different time period than they were in back then. But I will say this. There is still a house of the Lord for you and for me. Still is. And I'm not talking about our bodies. I know our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. I understand that. But Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a young pastor in Ephesus, an actual church in an actual city. And in 1 Timothy 3:15, he wrote these words, "But if I tarry long," in other words, if it takes me a while to come to you, "the reason I wrote this letter, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So we have a house of God in this New Testament day and age. We have a house of God. Not like they had back in the Old Testament. Not at all like that. We don't have the house of God is, and by the way, the house of God is not this building. The house of God is not this building. The house of God is wherever you and I meet for the public worship service of God. The public worship of God, the singing and the fellowship and the rejoicing and the giving and the instruction. Wherever we meet, it could be out here in the parking lot. It could be in the grass over here under a tent. It could be in the gymnasium as we have in times past. And maybe we'll have to again someday once the new building is complete over there. It's wherever we meet. Now, it's not where one family gathers in the living room. That's not the house of God.
Right.
It's not where two or three people come together on a beach somewhere, or, watch the sunrise and feel all gooey, about the sunrise. You say, well, I heard that, read that somewhere. It's not Bible theology. No. The house of God is where a local group of baptized believers assembles together under the leadership of a pastor for the express purpose of worshiping God. That's a church. Now, swallow the evangelical line if you will. Some will compromise and they'll go that direction. That's okay. Okay? I'm trying to stand by the old Bible term here, the Bible definition. The house of God is where an assembly of born-again baptized believers comes together under the leadership of a pastor for the express purpose of worshiping God and singing and exalting the Word of God and edifying the believers, hopefully, through the ministry of the Word of God. That's what the house of God is. And praise God. I don't know about you, but I can say with David this morning, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I can say that. That's my heart this morning. You know, this building is special. I love this auditorium. I said that often over the years. I still walk in here and remember the old one and how full it got. Thank God. Amen. And I remember that low ceiling and how I felt like claustrophobia in there after a while. And we had some wonderful services there. Amen. This building is special. But the only reason this building is special is because of what goes on in this building. This is where the house of God comes to meet and worship and praise God together and sing and give and hear instruction from the Word of God. And I can say with David, I'm glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Are you glad this morning? I hope so. I got three questions for you along this lines. Number one, the title of the message, are you glad? Are you glad when Sunday comes? Are you? Is there a gladness that fills your heart when you wake up on Sunday morning and realize, hallelujah, this is the Lord's day and we're going to church. Amen. Actually starts on Saturday night for me. The anticipation of it, the anticipation of Sunday morning coming and getting ready for it and everything. And maybe with the messages and all, my mind is a little bit more on it than yours, but I don't think so. I think there's lots of people here. It actually begins on Saturday night for you, the anticipation of it. And they wake up on Sunday morning. It's the Lord's day. It's not a drudge. It's not a have to. It's not a drag yourself in. I suppose everybody goes through seasons like that. I suppose we all go through seasons like that. But most of the time, it's glory to God. Amen. I'm going to church today. It's the Lord's day. Time to get together. You take a Cubs fan. I don't know where you take them. I don't know. Amen. Take them to the mountain. Let them look over in the promised land, but they'll never get to go in there. Amen. They'll be buried. I'm saying we looked over into the promised land. Huh? Never made it. You take a Cubs fan and you say, let's go to the White Sox ball game. They may be excited because they're a fan just of the game of baseball. But when you say to a Cubs fan, let's go to the Cubs game. Let's go to Wrigley Field. Oh, man. The excitement rolls and there's a gladness there and a joy fills your heart. They're all excited about it. And you say, why? Hey, listen very carefully because this is key right here. This is so key. Because they're going to a place where their desire was already gone. Now, some of you can't understand that because you're not a Cubs fan. Why would you want to go there? Huh? Why would I want to waste the time and drive up to that place? Only to have my hopes dashed on the rocks like every other season in baseball. What if they are going to a place where their desires are already gone? You know, maybe growing up as a little boy or a little girl, you know, dad and mom enjoyed the Cubs or grandpa or somebody, and they'd see it in the paper or hear it on the radio or see a game on the television, and they'd think, boy, I'd like to go. And they hear him sing the song, take me out to the ball game, and I wish I could go there and hear that music and be in the crowd and cheer. And then someday, one day, out of the blue, here comes a, let's go, we're going to the Cubs game. Man, we got tickets, we're going to go to the Cubs game. And their hearts are glad. Their hearts are filled with joy. You don't have to get happy now. Come on, be happy. Put a smile on your face. You don't have to do that because they're going somewhere where their desire's already gone. Been desiring to go there for a long time. A lot of you folks are race fans. You like the races, all kinds of races. And I don't know. I grew up in the South, which is supposed to be the Mecca of NASCAR. But I don't know. It just didn't catch me. All right. So I don't know. It didn't get in my blood. Like some of you did. You like the races. And it's the same scenario with you. You know, you think about going and you see a race and you read the papers or the magazines and your favorite driver wins the race or whatever. And then the day comes, somebody gives you 2 tickets or 4 tickets or 6 tickets. And here's a ticket to the race over here at the Speedway. And man alive, your heart is, you're filled with gladness. Nobody has to say, be happy. Nobody has to say, man, get excited. You're going somewhere where your desires are already gone. You're ecstatic. Here it is. You were predisposed to go there. You're predisposed to go to the Cubs game. And when it actually happened, well, you didn't have trouble getting excited. You're predisposed to go to the race. And when it happened, when it came to reality, you didn't have to get excited. Nobody had to tell a funny story to make you smile. It didn't even have to be sunshining outside. You were glad to go because you were predisposed to go. Your desires were already sent way far ahead of you. Oh, I'd like to go. Let me ask you, are you glad when it's Sunday? You know, a child of God should not have to have the pastor look. What are you going to say when you get to the pulpit this morning? I got to have something funny. I got to have something emotional. I got to have a poem. I got to have a story. Because people are, oh, no. I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to treat you like that. I'm not going to be under that kind of pressure. No, sir. I want you to come to church. Glad to be here. Rain or shine, doesn't matter. And you can be that way if you're predisposed to go. And every child of God ought to be predisposed to go to church and look forward to it. I enjoy the service. You ought to look forward to it. We're going to take our hymn books and we're going to sing and I'm going to shake hands and I'm going to fellowship and we're going to learn something from the Word of God and we're going to have good music that's going to edify my heart, remind me of Jesus, and make my soul and spirit move, maybe not my toe. Yeah, amen. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so when the morning actually comes and it's, let's go, it's church time. Well, amen, glory to God. The person who comes to church glad is the person who was predisposed to go there. The person whose desires were already gone ahead of. Are you with me this morning, church? Their desires were already there. Reason some of you don't enjoy it because you haven't sent your desires here. In fact, you thought, oh, brother, Sunday, gotta go. I feel sorry for you, especially if you're called a child of God. I feel sorry. That's not how it ought to be. Wasn't that way in the Old Testament? Ought not be that way in the New Testament. By the way, when you go to Wrigley Field, when you do go to the race, when you go to the museum, when you go to the American Girl store, when you go to Bass Pro, now we're talking, amen, Cabela's. When you go to the ski resort, when you go there, it doesn't, nobody has to twist your arm to get you involved in things that are going on. Nobody has to say, come on now, participate. When they hit a home run, you're on your feet cheering. Yay! Nobody has to say, stand up, raise your hands, cheer. Yay. Huh? Why? Because your desire is already there. This is the fulfillment of your desires. Amen. That's one thing that scares me about these Bass Pro and Cabela's and Gander Mountain stores that are so prominent now. You know, for years we always had, us fellas were always able to, I hate shopping. Hate to take my wife shopping. And I do it because I like to be with her, but boy, women, you know, they got to go in, they got to feel everything and look at it and pull it off the rack and go to this store and go to that store. And, you know, let's go. We go right in, we know. You been to Bass Pro? And I find myself touching everything and pulling everything off the rack. Oh, no, do I have a feminine side after all? Oh, God, help me. Man, help me. Sure. Yeah, why? Because I love the hunting season, which is the beginning, and you girls know how many days do you get married, Brooke? I got about 40 days to hunting season here, amen. So, yeah, amen. And then I go there, my desire's already there. I love the camouflage, I love the arrows, I love the equipment, I love all the stuff that's in there. So, you know, that encouraged me to go around and look and take part and pull it off the shelf and feel of it and bush. So I love it, I eat it up, I enjoy it because my desires are already there. If you're glad to come to church, you have no problem participating, taking part in the singing. And if you hear the same old dumb joke for the 25th time, you can laugh anyway. You know, it doesn't bother you. Huh? No. And we sing, and the choir sings a song that they sang probably 15 times in the last, you know, 20, in the last 10 years. But that's all right. Doesn't bother me because I'm glad I'm sheltered in the arms of God. And, you know, I was predisposed to get here before I got here. My desires were here before I got here. So this is the fulfillment of my desire. I can't wait till the first time in the deer stand. I can't wait. I can't wait. I love it. We're funny creatures. If the fish aren't biting in 5 minutes, I got to go. Take me somewhere else. But I can go to a deer stand and sit there for 3 hours and not see anything. Come back home. Wife said, see anything? Nope. Have a good time? Oh, it's great. It's great. Amen, fellas. You know what I'm saying? It's great. Fantastic. Why? How can you be? How can you sit still like a wax? Like some of you sit in church. That's how I sit in the deer stand. Amen. How can you enjoy that? Because my desires are already there. I'm anticipating it already. And that's how I came to church this morning. I came anticipating that opening song. I came anticipating seeing folks come in. I got to play doorman out there today. And see, bless your heart, see you come into that deluge. My desire is already here. Was yours? You can really enjoy this. This weekly thing is a part of the Christian life. God didn't give it to you to make you miserable. Amen. David was his man. My desires are already there. I can't wait to put my feet inside the city. As soon as I put my feet inside the city, things are going to happen. Look forward to it. Are you glad? Are you glad this morning? Number two, let me ask you this. Are you making anybody else glad? Are you making anybody else glad? David said in verse number 1, I was glad when they, I wonder who that was, said unto me, let us go. Come with us. I wonder who the they was. Could have been family. Could have been people that lived in the area. Who knows? But somebody came by and said to David, maybe he wrote this, you know, before he became king. I'm not sure when he wrote this in the succession of the Psalms. But somebody came by and said, hey, it's time to go to the house of the Lord. Let's go. They said it. And David said, I was glad when somebody said to me, it's time to go. Let's go. You know, I was thinking there are people here in the room this morning. You're glad to be in church. You're glad to be with other people. You're glad for the fellowship. You're glad to hear the music. You enjoy the people of God. You enjoy the good music. And the whole, you're glad because somebody said to you one day, hey, come on, go to church with me. Hello, I'm so-and-so. We're just out in the area telling folks about Faith Baptist Church. And we want to give you a little tract here. It tells you how to know for sure you're going to heaven. What do you got going on Sunday? Why don't you come? And you came. And now you're glad every Sunday. Because somebody said to you a verbal invitation. Why don't you come? You know, don't ever grow weary of inviting people to come with you. You just never know what might happen. You never know. 10 months ago, Glenn and Sharon, out there in Moments, we had Roundup Sunday. Is that what we called Brother Walker's Big Day? Roundup Sunday? explosion. I forget what it was, that big carnival thing. That's what it was, wasn't it, Glenn? That big... last fall, wasn't it? Yeah, 10 months ago. Roundup, so whatever we called it. And we encouraged everybody to... And they invited their neighbors to come. Never came. Till about 4 weeks ago. They came. Cindy Calston and one of the ladies from the church made a follow-up call on one of those folks that came. And that lady got saved about 3 weeks ago. Brother Caleb went by with somebody. By yourself, with Jake Johnson, with Brother Jay here, and the man in the household got saved, Vietnam vet. And then Brother Britt and I were out Tuesday night, went by to see the family, and the 20-year-old young man got saved. Three people come to Christ from that invitation. It was made 10 months ago. Amen. That's just somebody saying, hey, come on, go to church. And I don't think that's the only time you invite. I think through these last, you know, hey, see him at the yard. Hey, come on to church with me. Don't get weary of inviting folks to come. Don't go, you bus workers and bus drivers and captains and those of you especially that go out on Saturday, don't grow weary of inviting those kids to come to church. Don't grow weary of that. Man, it's just kids. Hey, kids have parents. You know, most of you folks, the great majority of you folks, do not know who the person is in this church who has been a member here the longest. Most of you don't know. Makes very little noise. Comes in for the service, sits here, slips out every week, faithful. When we had Sunday school, and Sunday school helper every week in a girl's class, very miracle. Sit right back there. Knock on the door. Got a little boy, Greg, to come to church. And the other kids. And she got saved. And she's been a part of this church longer than anybody else. All the way back to the first pastor. 69, 70. Somewhere in that time frame. She's here because somebody invited a kid to come. Hey, how about that? Some of you you too easily stopped. You know, you invite an adult and you get refused and no, 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 and you finally say, you know, it doesn't work. Well, invite a teenager. Invite a child. Kids have parents. Kids grow up. Sure they do. Kids grow up. We have folks sitting here this morning who are little bus kids. Started on a bus. Now they're adults. Kids grew up. Invite them in. Are you making anybody else glad? Hey, you can always bring more than you can send. You ought to go to church. Why don't you go to church? You ought to go. It's far better to say, come on, go with us. Come on. Jump in the car. I'll bring the bus by. Let's have a bite to eat afterwards. Come on, go with us to the house of the Lord. You making anybody else glad? Wouldn't that be a good thing? Huh? Are you glad this morning? Can you say with David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Are you making anybody else glad? I know this is simple, folks, but hey, amen, I'm simple-minded. And it's a good day to be simple. You're wet and ready to go home and get dried off. Amen? Number three, here's my third question. Why aren't you glad? Why aren't you glad? Why doesn't your heart thrill at the prospect of a public worship service, huh? Why not? Why isn't your heart? It is the Lord's house. If you are of God, if you are His child, you should be able to be glad at the prospects of gathering to worship Him. It ought to make you excited. If we came here to promote a man, if we came here to promote the work of some man, that'd be a different story. But we came here this morning to sing about God. We came here to worship Him this morning. If this thing is built on me, then woe be unto us. If it's built on my personality or my charisma, whatever amount I have, then woe be unto us. Because when God calls me home, it won't go on. That's, you know, I marvel at the First Baptist Church of Hammond. The general consensus was that as soon as Jack Hiles was dead, the place was scattered like a covey of quail. Last time I checked, that hasn't happened. So maybe a lot of the criticism that was unjustly hurled at him wasn't true. It's built on you. It's built on man. It's going pretty good up there. Some of you have relatives up there that are very happy. Kind of looks like maybe it was built on the Word of God. Built around worshiping God. If this place is built on one or two special people being here, we're in trouble, folks. This is supposed to be the Lord's house. Amen. We came here to worship Him. Now, why wouldn't we be glad to get here? Why wouldn't our desires already have gone in front of us? Why not? Why? We receive instruction. We receive instruction. I tried to give you the interpretation of the passage. Try to do that every week. I don't like the idea of just lifting a verse out of the Bible and preaching on it out of context. I think that does an injustice to the Scriptures. I gave you the interpretation. This is the Word. This is the Word of the living God right here. We get instruction from this. Why wouldn't that make you glad? Huh? We engage in healthy exercise. What's that? Singing. You sing this morning, use your lungs. Sing, use your heart, all the sincerity of your soul, and sing about only a sinner saved by grace, only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. We mingle in company of family. Ben and I spent some time together this week, and they didn't get in until Thursday evening late, Thursday afternoon. I forget when we were talking. We were somewhere together, and we went down to see Debbie Maxwell Thursday night. She was put in the hospital for overnight down here at Pontiac. She was low on blood. So we drove down together just to see Debbie and Brian, just to have some time together. He told me, he said, Dad, he said, you know what? He said, if I could live anywhere I wanted to, I'd choose Bourbonnais, Illinois. I said, you know why? Because of Faith Baptist Church. But I love the people of Faith Baptist Church. Family. Yeah, it is, folks. It's family. All part of the family of God here. Amen. And we have our ups and downs. We have our good times. We have our bad times. We have our strengths and we have our weaknesses. But I want to tell you something. Family, a functional family, never turns on each other. Dysfunctional family turns on each other. Why wouldn't you be glad to come here? You mingle with family. Why wouldn't you be glad to come here? We promote the cause of Christ. Sure. Passed the offering plates a little while ago. We had the opportunity to take some of what God has given us and throw it in the plate to promote the cause of Christ here and around the globe. Why wouldn't you enjoy that? Why not? Got to go to church. You got to go. I get to go. To the dedicated child of God, the church is his spiritual home. Oh, I'm not saying you can't read your Bible and pray. Remember, we're Baptist. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. You don't have to have a man between you and God to tell you things about. You could go to God yourself. But there's still something about coming together as an organized assembly. It's home. To the dedicated child of God, it's his spiritual school. Jesus Christ saved me, washed my sins away, birthed me into the family of God through salvation. This book has changed my life. Changed my life. Can't begin to tell you how much of what we do is centered and founded in this book. Spiritual school. Dedicated child of God, church is his spiritual hospital. When you get sick, I mean spiritually sick, go to church, somebody pats you on the back and says, man, good to see you. It's like getting a shot. Glad you're here. It's like getting a little antibody. To the dedicated child of God, church is his spiritual bank, investing in the cause of Christ. Why wouldn't you be glad? You know, there was a day when I hated church. Hated. I'm embarrassed about that. My folks, sometimes I worked and I would look forward to working on Sunday so I wouldn't have to go to church. And some Sundays, they would let me drive to church myself. I'd sit in the back, make sure they saw me during the opening song. As soon as the church settled in, I'd be gone. Mess around the area, show back up for the closing prayer. I couldn't stand it. Nothing about it appealed to me. I was lost. Unsaved. When I got born into God's family, everything changed. I love it. Loved it before I became a pastor. In the boys' home, I always looked forward to getting to church. My desires were already there. Are you predisposed to worship God? Are you? Is your desire going ahead of you? Has it? Throughout the week, it's not that you don't enjoy your job. It's not that you don't enjoy your home, your family. You enjoy it all. But boy, there's in the back of your mind, there's that thought. Sunday's just two or three days away. When we get to church, have my Bible, I'm going to sit with my family, I'm going to sing, I'm going to see brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so in the choir, and the music's going to play, and I can't wait to get there. And when somebody says, time to go to church, your heart goes, whew, because your desires are already gone ahead of you. There's a way to enjoy it, sir. There's a way to enjoy it, young man. It's called get your desires right. Get your heart fixed. David say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Are you glad? Are you making any others glad? Why aren't you glad? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Very simple, simple message on a very rainy, rainy Sunday. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just two or three things I want to say and give you some questions to think about here. With our brother Angel, I can honestly say I was glad to get here today. Through the rain and the headache of coming through that kind of weather, it was stiff. I can honestly say my desires were going ahead of me. And I can relate to what David said here. And I'm thankful God's been so good to give me a place to go. Can you say that this morning? Some of you can. Many of you can. God bless you. I see lots of hands. If you want to raise your hand, go ahead. You can say that. Amen. God bless you. Now, if not, why not? Are you cold? Are you hard? Are your desires not sent ahead of you? If your desire was sent ahead of you, then when you realize that desire, oh boy. David said, I can't wait till my feet step inside the gates of that city. My heart's already there. Can't wait till my body catches up. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not as glad as I should be. My heart needs warmth. Sin, apathy, I don't know, worldliness. Something's just stolen that joy. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart about it this morning. Would you lift your hand, please? Wherever you're sitting, let me pray for you this morning. Anybody from side to side, front to back, God bless you. Somebody else? Somebody else? God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you are sure, right, if you died right now, you go to heaven, you've been born again in the family of God, you know you're saved. Would you raise your hand this morning? How many of you know that for sure? You're not lying before God when you raise your hand. Amen. Take your hand down. Anybody here? Brother Angel, I could not lift my hand. I don't know for sure if I died right now where I'd go. I couldn't raise my hand just then because I'm concerned about my eternal destiny. I don't know, honestly, where I'm going to spend eternity. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Would you just put it up, put it back down? I see a young child's hand. How about it, Dad, Mom? Mom? Brother, sister? Boy, girl? Member visitor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? If you're here today, you've been saved but not baptized. Obeyed the Lord in believer's baptism. You came this morning to be baptized, or you know you should be. Now is the time for you to come. And the baptistry waters are ready to go. We're ready to help you. So if you're here to be baptized this morning, you come right now. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one is looking. Or if you've not been baptized, you want to talk to somebody about it. At the invitation time, you come. If you've been saved and baptized, and you've been visiting, talk to somebody about joining. You know this is the time, the place. You obey the Lord in that matter. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all portions of your word. I specifically thank you for this portion. Thank you that David penned those words years and years ago. Thank you that they are relevant and meaningful to us today. God, I pray that you'll help us to always send our desires ahead of us. God, may we say with David, every time the doors are open, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Lord, thank you for this place. Thank you for this group of people that you've assembled here. Some have come and some have gone. Lord, there's a great core of folks here who've come and stayed. You've given us a wonderful fellowship. We can be happy about coming to church. Our kids can look forward to it. That's so important. God, thank you. You're a merciful, gracious God. We love you for it this morning and rejoice in your good word. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. They're playing the song this morning. If you need to come and kneel for a few minutes, ask the Lord's blessing on your life. If God spoke to you in a specific way, you come. While we prepare for baptism,